continue in my words, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free is sort of a line that has gotten taken up in the culture at large over the centuries. People sort of forget the first half of it, but we use this phrase, the truth will set you free, to want to inform people, tell people, instruct people of what it is they need to know so they can be free from their problems and often free to do what you want them to do, a certain kind of bondage. So I think we misuse this phrase a lot from our Lord, but we can learn a lot about it simply by going through it backwards. He says in the end that you'll be free. This is kind of the capstone of the text that he gives us, and everybody wants freedom. Nobody wants to be a slave. Nobody wants to be controlled or manipulated or really told what to do. When Jesus says this to the Jews that are there, they respond by saying, we've never been in bondage. It's a strange thing because the Jewish nation was born really out of the bondage of being in Egypt and brought out of Egypt through the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. And so they have that in their history, and they also have the Babylonian captivity. But even more striking is that even as they spoke these words, they were under occupation from the Roman authorities. And so not only had they been in bondage and slavery at different times in their history, but even at this very moment. So it's important to begin here because we can't ever come to experience the freedom that Christ offers unless we admit that we're in bondage. And Jesus, instead of pointing out to them these things I just pointed out to you, that they've been in bondage, he could have told them these things. He didn't say that. Instead, he speaks about the kind of freedom and bondage that he really has in mind. The one who commits sin or practices sin, that's the one who's in bondage. And he comes to set us free from that inner compulsion that we have to turn away from God. So the freedom that he wants to offer us isn't freedom from the Babylonians or the Romans or even from natural disasters and pandemics. The freedom that he comes to grant us is the freedom from the sin that dwells in us, the passions, the uncontrolled thoughts, obsessions that we have in this world that we can't control. So the first place to begin is we have to admit that we have those. In analogy to the Jews needing to admit that they've been in political bondage of various sorts, we have to admit that we're in the spiritual bondage. That's really the first stage, the first step. And then it is, if we admit that we're in a spiritual bondage, there's no hope for us if we don't admit that. Then our Lord starts to apply. If we work backwards, the truth will set us free from that. And the truth is very clearly Christ himself. It's not a body of information. Sure, a lot of times information is helpful to us and instruct us in various ways to better our lives, to overcome certain unhealthy tendencies that we're inclined toward. But ultimately, the truth that sets us free is a person. Divine person. Several of the Holy Fathers say this. In fact, Blessed Augustine associates not only with Christ, but with the bread of life that we'll receive in this divine liturgy. But our Lord himself makes it clear later in the very same passage when he says that does a slave abide forever in the house? No, he doesn't, but the Son does. And he's talking about himself, and he says, it's the Son who will set you free. The freedom that we need is the freedom from the Son, who has been abiding in the house of his Father from all eternity. And so the admitting that we're in bondage and in need of this release, this freedom, we need the release and freedom from a person, from a person who truly is free. Go back another step, and we're told that what we'll need is the knowing this truth, knowing this person. And this is what Jesus himself tells us indirectly in his prayer to his Father in John chapter 17, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So knowing the Father, knowing the Son, knowing the truth, experientially having a relationship with a person, not again, knowing a body of knowledge. The information doesn't free us, nor even does knowledge of that information free us. Knowledge isn't freedom. It's a long-standing debate, goes way back to the time of Plato, whether or not if you know what's right, you'll do it, whether or not knowledge will assure moral behavior. And it's strange to me that people keep discussing this. It even occurred again quite fervently in the 20th century, that if you know the right thing, that's really what's been governing much of the moral thinking of our culture in the last half a century or more. We simply need to teach, really indoctrinate people in a certain kind of way, and then they'll behave properly. It pretty clearly is not working, but we keep coming back to this thought that knowledge is what's necessary for proper behavior, knowledge of a certain body of information. But it doesn't work, it never has worked, and it won't work in the future. The knowledge that we need is an experiential, personal knowledge, meaning knowing a person. Not knowing about a person, not having lots of facts, not having our theological ducks in a row, as it were. That all has its place, but it's really the theology in the sense of the intimacy of prayer, listening and speaking with the God who created us. So you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, if we go back one more step, we're told that you'll be my disciples. Well, this is good, because a disciple is a learner. I often think of a disciple as a follower, because the disciples were following Christ around. But the word literally means learner, a student. And so, if we're Christ's disciples, then we're learning from him. In the other gospel that we heard today for the saint of the day, Saint Theodore, we have that beautiful text where Jesus invites us to come to him and learn from him. Learn from me. And so this is the way in which we really come to know him, is to say, Lord, I want you to be my teacher. Sure, we'll get information from lots of different sources, but we ultimately want to go to Christ to say, you be my teacher. You teach me to pray. You teach me to do acts of kindness. You teach me to fast. Everything. We want God to be the one who instructs us. We want to be his disciples. And most importantly, we want him to be the one to teach us what it is to know him. We want to come to know him in this relationship of he's our teacher and we're his student. Now, all of this follows from the very simple statement, if you continue in my word. If you continue in my word, then everything else will happen just fine. Then you'll truly be my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so, really, all we need to do is continue or abide, remain in our Lord's word. Now, this word really has two aspects to it. Many of the Holy Fathers emphasize duration. We can't fall away. The text started out by saying that Jesus said these words to the Jews who believed in him. it says pretty harsh things to them, but the question that the fathers are trying to face is, well, they believed in him, but Jesus is warning them that they have to continue. They have to not give up. As Jesus says elsewhere, the one who endures to the end will be saved. So there'll be lots of storms in life of all different sorts. There were storms with relationships and storms with natural disasters and storms with unemployment and this, all kinds of troubles that we face in life. Storms of doubts. We have to remain, continue, endure, because there's a kind of deepening experience that we learn about who this God is that created us, who loves us so much, simply by enduring through these trials, by not giving up. So the first aspect, and the aspect that's emphasized by many of the Holy Fathers, is the sense of continue in my word, meaning you've made the start, don't give up, don't get distracted, don't get diverted from this path. Stay on it. But the second aspect of this word has to do with the kind of making a certain place your home, growing your roots in a certain place. It's like a plant that is in lush and rich soil. Roots go deep down into it. It doesn't just remain, it doesn't just continue, survive, but it flourishes in the sense that it's not going anywhere. It flourishes in the sense that it's doing what's necessary to ultimately bear fruit. It's really making its home, its abode, its life consists in being in this one spot. So it's not just survival, but it's a kind of a complete immersion in God's word. So these two aspects, we continue, we stay the course, we don't become distracted, but we don't just stay the course kind of by gritting our teeth and putting up with it, but we stay the course in the sense of we're making this place, our Lord's word, not just words, plural, but our Lord's word, which is in itself, in the holy mysteries, but also in the scriptures, his words, the divine services, fellowship with one another, acts of mercy, fasting, all of the things that we do. We make our home in this life that he's given to us, continuing in it and growing deep roots in it. If we do that, then we'll truly be his disciples. We'll truly be learning from him, discerning from all of the different voices that are calling us in this world. We'll be able to discern the shepherd's voice. The good shepherd's voice. We'll truly be his disciples, and in that context we will come to know him intimately, personally, deeply, profoundly. And that knowledge, that personal knowledge, will give us the freedom that we long for, not the freedom from external constraints, but the freedom from those things that are internal to us, that bind us, that hold us back from being the people that God created us to be. The freedom from passions, sins, thoughts. So by God's grace, let us take this very simple text that we have today and admit that we're in need of God's freedom, admit that we're in bondage, and abide in his word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,